Thank you so much for that greeting, and now may I gather us together around the reading of God's Word. Today is in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is called the Aaronic blessing, for those of you who like to keep a little note here or there. The Aaronic blessing, and it's used by a number of churches in this day and time as their benediction. Very well-known benediction in Scripture, the Aaronic blessing. And so Moses here was directed to tell Aaron, the high priest at that time, to bless the people of Israel this way. So this is what we're going to be bringing to you this day about how this blessing reminds us of the peace that is ours in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your thought for today is, the face of God shining upon his people is embodied in Christ. The face of God shining upon his people is embodied in Christ. So what does it mean to be blessed by God? We always want to look to Scripture first and see how Scripture illuminates other Scripture. And so in Galatians chapter 3, Paul uses this particular instance here of the life of Abraham. Not this particular blessing, but the life of Abraham, where God says that that God will bless those who bless you, Abraham, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what is that blessing there that God has given? So Paul illuminates that part of Scripture in Genesis 12 by Galatians 3, where he says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." So in Christ, in God's eyes, there was no greater blessing than to be forgiven for your sin, than to be called into the family of God. Because it is in that family that God can bring about his blessings upon his people. And so the peace that came with the birth of Christ was that peace of reconciliation between God and mankind, where mankind then could come into the family of God and receive all the blessings of that household. When we look at this particular aspect of God's calling in to that family and being delivered from that curse of sin, and it was being made possible by that relationship that Christ now bridges that gap between us and God so that we can come to him. And so in Christ we find that relationship with our Father being made possible. So the blessings can come upon us in there. And so to keep in mind there, to bless there then is God sending his Son. That reconciliation, forgive me, I was wandering all over the place because I'd lost my thought, but now I have it back. but that reconciliation comes about because we say we're now at peace with God. Well, what does that peace with God mean? That peace with God means that we are no longer at odds with him. We're no longer at war with him, as Scripture talks about. While we were yet enemies, Paul writes, Christ came for us. Now, we may not think of our life being lived in opposition to God. We may think that we're just going about our life. We don't get up each morning and think, well, how can I defeat God's purposes in the world today by how I live my life? That's not how we think, and it's not what you would normally think when you say that there was enmity between God and mankind, or bad feelings between man and God. Well, let me put it in this illustration. I've used this here before. But just say that you're living under a king. And none of us know what that's like, but just go back to your history books and think, You're a person of a kingdom, and that king rules over you. And in that kingdom, that king had sovereign control. And that sovereignty means that what the king said was law, and we were all supposed to obey it. Now, you go about your business every day. You raise your crops, you sell them in the market. You're married, you're raising your children, you're teaching them to live a moral life. And you just go about your business and you pay your taxes because you don't want to be bothered, and because if you don't do these things, you know that your livelihood may be taken away and your family will be disrupted, and you just don't want that. You want your version of peace in your life. But all the time, you are in rebellion against what this king is trying to do in controlling your life. You are fighting that private battle of saying, I'm not going to listen to you. The things that I do that look like I'm serving you, that look like I'm being obedient to you, is for my purposes of seeking my peace and my livelihood only. I am not going to listen to you. I am not going to live by your law. I am going to fight it and resist it every day of my life. That is a private battle. And that's what Scripture is talking about in the lives of most individuals, where it talks about there was enmity, there was war going on between God's sovereign control and our surrender to it, and mankind's resistance to that sovereign control, because we want to live our lives the way that we want to live our lives. We want to have that freedom. Again, it goes back. What was the sin of Adam and Eve? What was the temptation there? The temptation was to be like God, to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. To decide for themselves what they will listen to and what they won't listen to. To decide for themselves what is best for them. Not what God sees as best for me, but what I see as best for me. And so the peace that came about in the birth of Christ Jesus was to bring a recognition of the battle that was going on inside the hearts and minds of individuals, so that now that recognition could be addressed by the Spirit of God, to begin to change the mind, to begin to mold us into people who surrender to God's sovereign hand and not those who resist it. So the blessing then becomes that gift of Christ and His Spirit, Christ has paved the way for us to come to God, to have our sins forgiven, and to live our lives in a way that they are now in obedience to God and not in opposition to what His kingdom purposes are. To keep here, may the Lord bless and keep you. To keep here is more like a shepherd's work. It's a minding of the sheep. We talked about that some last week. But a minding of the sheep. We talked about how the sheep need a shepherd, and how that Spirit then comes and to guard and to guide and to assure. That Spirit's work in guarding and guiding goes back to that illuminating of the mind of sinful man about how we are in that conflict with the sovereign control of God to do what we want when we want it and live our life in the way that pleases us. And in that battle of the minds there, that battle of the wills, God's Spirit is infiltrating our defenses. He's illuminating us. He's showing us God's love and truth in a way that is new to us and lets us know that our battle then is not against some tyrant, but our battle then is a battle of our own will, being in resistance to the will of one who wants to love us and to provide for us and care for us, to put us in His pasture where He can protect us, where He can give to us His Spirit and His grace. And so it's the blessing here of God's name being put upon His people, that they will be blessed in a way that they will come to Him and surrender to His sovereignty in their lives as a good and loving Father, so that He can keep them from evil, so He can keep them from that being harmed by their own sinful desires. We can become that sheep of His pasture, as Scripture reminds us. Now, and then it says, may the Lord make His face to shine upon you. What does that mean? The best illustration that I could think of, and I've used this before with you, Sitting on that back pew right there is a new mom. And when a new mom looks at their child, this is the best illustration of what this means that I can give you. You've all sat there. Some of you moms, new moms have experienced this. You've seen a new mom look at the face of their child. That's what it's talking about. What is being given over to that child by the way that that mom looks at that baby? Like, you are mine. I love you. I want to protect you. I want to provide for you. I can't get enough of you. I want to be with you. I want to be your mama. I want you to be my child. I want you to grow up and have all of these wonderful things and be this person and all of these dreams that moms and dads have for their kids. And when you look at that face, that's what this blessing is asking of from God, to look upon your people in that same radiant way. That I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people, and I want you to be raised up to the people who have all of the blessings of my kingdom, all of the blessings of my family. I want you to be loved. I want you to be cherished. I want you to be treasured. And so the blessing is asking for God's radiance to be, His shining face to be upon us, to nurture, to protect, to provide. All of this is made possible by Christ coming. All of this is made possible by mankind now being brought into the family of God through Christ, so that God, as loving, kind Father, can give to us all of these things. Now, what is the opposite of that? The opposite of that is when God turns His face. We have an expression in our culture about, this person turned their back on me. And we all know what that means, or we have a concept of what that means. It means that you're no longer like that nurturing, radiant, I want the best for you mother, and now we've turned their back, and now it's like I don't care about you anymore. And so the concept here that God is wanting us to know is that when He, in that language of turning that face, it means that I'm displeased with you. And He warned them, Deuteronomy 31, God says He will turn His face from His people if they break the covenant He made with them by turning to other gods. So God's graciousness is seen in that coming of Christ to dwell among us, His continuing, and that what He brings, that undeserved favor to mankind, that be gracious unto you, that undeserved favor, the face of God shining upon His people, as I said, is embodied in Christ. That is the ultimate gift that God can give to us in being able to be brought out of that sin, in being able now to be brought into His family, where He can give to us all of the blessings that He wants His people to have. And He says, to lift up, to put my name. And so to have God's name upon you is to be blessed by adoption into the family of God, made possible by the coming of Christ. Put my name upon the people, it says in verse 27. You have been adopted, you have been brought into my family, and now you have my name. You have the blessings of my kingdom. You have the blessings of being into my family. If you adopt a child and you lovingly bring them into your home and you give them your name, that's what you're doing. You're saying, now you belong to me. Now I'm going to give you all the blessings of my household. Now you are inheritor of all of the blessings that are due you as being my child. And that is what God is offering us through Christ, why it is a blessing, why He wants to keep us, why He is shining His gracious face upon us. And then it says here, and God lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. When the angel was announcing to the shepherds, the NIV translation reads, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. As we talked about before, this peace was that cessation of hostility in rebellious mankind, surrendering to the loving, guiding, nurturing hand of a heavenly Father. Lift up that countenance now means to focus His attention favorably upon you. Psalm 34 reminds us the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. Isn't it wonderful that God hears us in our sorrow. God hears us in our disappointment. God hears us in our pain. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be noticed? How hurtful is it to us as human beings who need that socialization to feel like we're being ignored? Well, nobody sees how much I'm hurting here. Nobody sees what kind of pain that I'm in. Nobody sees how much I need help here. I've just been cast aside. I've just been pushed out on the sidewalk, so to speak. And there's nobody to circle the wagons around me. I'm out on this limb, and I've got danger below me and danger above me. And there's no one there to come to me, to come to my aid. But God, to lift up His countenance here means that God is asking His people to respond to Him, because He's going to look favorably upon us through Christ. We're going to be the focus of His attention through Christ. And with the blessings of His kingdom, He's going to bless us because of His goodness as He lavishes upon us, directing His thought to us, transforming our minds through the Spirit's action, guarding us from evil, bringing us back into that intimate relationship by pursuing us with His grace. God sets an example for all of us who are in relationship. When that relationship breaks for whatever reason and you're at odds with each other, that was the situation between God and mankind. But what did God do to set the example for His people? He made the first move. He pursued. And He continues to pursue even the hardest of hearts. Those that He wants to bring into His family, He continues to pursue. And He will gather them into His family. He has promised us that. And so the example for us as God's people who have experienced that peace of Christ, who now are in relationship, who have, for whatever reason, brought circumstances into that relationship that has separated us, what is our tendency? Well, they need to apologize to me. And I'm not moving an inch until somebody apologizes to me. If God had taken that attitude, none of us would have hope. And so God's saying, do like me. Have your arms open as that father who was hurt by a son in the parable of the prodigal that Jesus told. It hurt that father deeply for that son to go out, to leave him. But how did that parable end? When the son came home, the father ran to him. Why? Because the father continued to look for that son, to expect him. And he received him like this. He didn't say, no, wait, before you come into this house, down on your knees, you hurt me, I want what's mine. I'm not going to give you anything until I get what's mine. He met him like this. And in God receiving us all, we are received like this. Because God poured out the wrath of the consequences of sin upon Christ. We are received into the family of God like this. And that is the peace that we are offered through Christ Jesus' birth. That is the peace that we are offered through all that He has accomplished for us and continues to do for us in the presence of His Spirit and the impact of that Spirit upon our lives. That is the peace that God offers. The peace that was hoped for in the Old Testament, the peace that was now brought to the earth when God Himself took on human form and walked among us so that you and I could know what true relationship with God and with each other looks like. Let that peace bathe you this season. Let the face of God shine brightly upon you this Christmas season. And let Israel's ancient blessing point you towards the present blessing that we have in God's gift to us in His Christ child. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for this Advent season as we look forward to celebrating the birth of the one long hoped for who now gives us His peace. Father, may that be the desire of us all, to find Christ to be changed by His Spirit, to be drawn into Your family, to be found in Him. May we hope. May we persist. May we surrender to the great love that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.